have Andrew Bush with us this morning, and he is going to share about ministry that he and his wife Karen have been involved with,
yeah.
And he's also going to preach us a good sermon. I forget what the title is, but you did tell me.
Peace on Earth Through You and Me.
Peace on Earth Through You and Me. So let's just say a word of prayer for him as he as we come before the Lord together this morning. Lord, we're so grateful for all the people that you bring into our lives who make our lives more rich and meaningful. We thank you, Lord, for the calling that you have placed on so many people in so many different places. And Lord, we're eager to hear about your work today through Andrew and Karen's ministry. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to accept the word that you have placed upon his heart. And we just pray, Lord, that you will use this word for our blessing and for our growth and to challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marta. God bless you. Great to see you all today. Really a joy to be back with you in church and have this time. I want to start with a question. What was one of the most surprising and happy announcements you have received in your life? What has been the most surprising and happy announcement you have received in your life that just came out of the blue? I can tell you, I'll kick it off. About 14 years ago, Karen can help me with this, 13 or 14, we were having Thanksgiving dinner here in Royersford, and our oldest daughter and her husband were living in Brooklyn at that time, and they had come out to have Thanksgiving with us. And they'd been married, I forget now, six years. And we'd given up asking about grandchildren, you know, because they said, oh, just our time, just lay off, etc. So we had really tried to put that one on the shelf. And we were in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner, and Anna said, we have an announcement. Wasn't it Anna who said it? And she said, I'm pregnant. And our youngest daughter just screamed, and everyone started crying, and we all started hugging each other. And really, it was one of the most beautiful, surprising announcements that had ever come into our life. And that little child is now 14 years old and well on her way to teenhood, into teenhood, with all that comes with that. But we're still praising the Lord, and she has a younger sister. How about you? What was one of the most surprising, happy announcements that has come into your life? Yes. Great. And I'm sure it's been good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Anyone else? Surprising and happy announcement that has come your way.
Proposal.
Oh, your proposal?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Good job, Jeff.
Good job, Jeff. Oh, I should tell you the story of my sons. It was really quite something. His wife-to-be was in Prague, Czechoslovakia, for a summer study program with Georgetown University. He called her and said he was going to have some flowers delivered to her on such and such a day, a few days ahead, and for her to be home to get them. Well, long story short, he had already bought the engagement ring. He flew to Prague. He had the flowers at her door. and gave them to her and proposed, and pretty cool. That was her most surprising day. Well, let me push on here. We got a lot of ground to cover. We think of these shepherds. I'm sorry if I'm, you know, a little ahead of Advent here, but we think of the shepherds out in the fields near Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, Israel under Roman control, and these angels appear, first an angel to announce that I bring you good news and great joy, for unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For this is a sign to you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's good news. But with that infant, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. A multitude of the heavenly host. We can't conceive of what that was. Praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was the first public proclamation, prophetic proclamation to Israel after 400 years of God's relative silence. And so it came out of the blue to these shepherds. God's announcement to his will for there to be peace in this world through Jesus Christ. And what does the poor mean to you? What does peace mean to you or to others? To the poor, it means a day without worry about the future. What will happen if the car breaks down before the next paycheck? For some people, that's their reality every week. To the refugee, it means a place where they're welcomed and supported, and their fears are eased. To families who have strife among their family members, it means the day in which that strife will end. To Palestinians on the West Bank, it means the day they can freely travel to schools and universities and hospitals and to their fields to retrieve their olive harvest without fear. And to Israelis, perhaps it means they can get on a bus without fear of danger. Peace means much to different people, and it's all wrapped up in this proclamation of the angels to the shepherds. But we really have a problem, and that is that peace is hard to find on earth. Instead, it seems that conflict has defeated peace. And so we see that conflict, as I mentioned, in our homes, in our organizations, in our churches, in our communities, between religious groups, between ethnicities, etc. This is a problem that is often thrown in the face of the Christian community. As it said, if your God is so good, why is there such poverty? Why is there such war, etc.? And so it's used as a major challenge against faith. And for Christians, it's a struggle as well, because we want to see our world more transformed. And why don't we see more action? For many people, this leads to sort of a passive resignation. For many people, in terms of the Middle East in particular, they often say things like, well, from Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac fought, so there'll never be peace until Jesus returns. Wash your hands of the whole mess. It'll just be a hell until Jesus returns. And for people and Christians in other parts of the world, they take that same type of posture of resignation. Just wait for the apocalypse. Wait for the cataclysmic end of the age. Before Christ comes, of course, the Antichrist is going to appear, so things are going to get worse and worse. So why bother, really, to work for peace? The world won't know peace until Jesus returns. And really, I have to admit, I have a touch of the apocalyptic in me. This last week, or a few days ago, there was the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall on November 9th. And I have always pointed to that as an example of how in one day God can change history. And a wall can come down in one day. And really the end of the Cold War in one sense. And that's true. Things will ultimately change when Christ returns. And Christ can tear walls down in one day. But we don't get off so easily as just to resign ourselves to God's sovereign action. Because, I keep forgetting to fast forward here. Here's the wall. The day of the wall, November 9th, 1989. I mean, I grew up hearing about that wall and that wall being a reality and people trying to sneak past the wall and be shot to death. And the day that wall came down, it was just like a day of wonder. It was like, what? And God can do that. But there's this inconvenient blessing that Christ uttered. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." This is a task that we have been called to as followers of Jesus, to not passively wait for that apocalyptic moment where it seems that history changes in a day, but we've been called where we are to take action to try to remove the causes of conflict, to transform conflict and violence into sustainable peace, to try to make our world a better place. So Karen and I have been called to Bethlehem by Bethlehem Bible College to help found a new institute in the college of which the name is still in flux, but the Peace and Justice Institute. And the goal of that institute is to work for peace, to equip people to work for peace, to equip people to be transformers of society where they are. The founding president of Bethlehem College, Bible College, said in a meeting in which I was with him recently, "We want to work for peace in the midst of conflict. From the birthplace of the Prince of Peace, where the announcement of peace was first made, we want to bring the peace of Christ throughout the world." He goes on to say, "My suggestion is that we think big to have an institute that involves the whole world." Amen. Can you say amen to that vision? From the place of the birthplace of the Prince of Peace, an effort that will sow peace throughout the world. The Peace and Justice Institute will have, as we envision it, will include three different initiatives. The first initiative will be to deal with conflict within Palestinian society. Conflicts such as domestic abuse, which is rampant, bullying in schools, unfair employment, etc. The second initiative will be to bring people together across boundaries, Christians with Muslims, Christians with Jews, peoples from other countries coming to join in discussion of how to make peace together. And thirdly, it will have an academic element focused on studying peace building and justice. And as disciples of Christ, we study that regularly. And really, I just want to leave this one thought with you. When we see even intractable conflicts, such as between Israel and Palestine, we can throw up our hands and really say, God, you know, what hope is there? Where can we begin to make peace? Our country certainly needs peace between its warring factions. Really, the locus where we begin is building relationships across the divide. And those efforts may seem small. They may seem insignificant. But they point to a possibility of something different. And so they carry hope with them. They have a prophetic element to them. We see this when Jesus sat and conversed with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. He crossed gender, religious, ethnic barriers. And the disciples were shocked. They were shocked because he was crossing a boundary. It demonstrated to the disciples that God's kingdom will include those that we least expect. And it demonstrates that relationships can be established where it is least expected. And wow, here there was just an immediate demonstration of what one relationship could do in terms of opening new possibilities. Because the scripture says in John 4, 39 through 40, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Not only was there this possibility of ending ethnic divide, but through that relationship, the Samaritan people were able to be introduced to eternal life and God's salvation through Jesus Christ. So relationships, even when they just seem significant, as asking water at a well, can carry much weight. A few days ago, this is the new institute, sorry, I'm not keeping up with this. A few days ago, myself with leaders of the Bible College met with the Sharia law professors at Najah University, which is the main Islamic university in Palestine. And the Sharia law professors, of course, were professors of Sharia law. This meeting occurred in the Bible College, and the professors want to build a relationship of conversation and learning together with the Christian professors. And they expressed really an interest to know more about really what is the gospel of Jesus. And so in this meeting, as we were sitting together, Jack or Mother, one of the leaders of the Bible College, went and got certain manuals they had, you know, for their introductory Christian courses and gave to the Muslim professors. And these were, you know, opportunity for honest discussion, because the Muslim leader said, of course, in Palestine, we're just one. We have peace between Muslims and Christians. And the Christian professor said, well, there's a little bit more to them than that. The Christian population in Palestine is 1% and 99% Muslim. And that 1% really gets a lot of sharp elbows by the Muslim community. And so Jack and Mother explained, really, you don't understand what it means to be a minority in this society, and we experience a lot of difficulty because of that. So these are really honest conversations that are
building real bridges of understanding as well as introducing these men to the Lord. Here's another picture I really like. This was at the 40th anniversary of the Bible College a few weeks ago. On the left is a young man, Joe. We knew him when he was 1 year old in Jerusalem. He was a cute little guy. And now he's grown up. He's actually a student in the college. His father is an Egyptian leader with Campus Crusade. And an old friend of ours, Majdi and Rima, wonderful people. And the gentleman on his left is named David Loden, a Jewish man, a Jewish Israeli citizen, who led the choir program in the Bible College. He's a believer in Jesus, a Jewish believer in Jesus. And lives in Netanya in Israel, and he led the worship on the night of the 40th anniversary. Can you say amen? Here's a relationship that points to different possibilities. Something else can happen. And I was with a meeting on another day. We couldn't take pictures of it. It was too sensitive. But I was invited to meet with three rabbis from settlements. And settlers are the most hated movement among Palestinians because they're taking, you know, the land that would be meant for a Palestinian state. And this meeting of rabbis and several Christian leaders has been going on for several months. And I was invited to it, and so there were only about eight of us sitting around a dining room table in a house. And really, I was really kind of nervous to attend this because there was a lot in me that I had to deal with on this one. But it was a really excellent meeting with very good conversation. They discussed a document that had been written and went through it and talked about issues together, etc. And really, I ended up feeling very welcome and had an excellent conversation, two male and one female rabbi. And I felt, wow, I didn't think this meeting could happen. I didn't think a meeting like this could happen. These are things that are going on out of which the Peace Center is going to grow. But all of this, I should say, we shouldn't, you know, get too Pollyannish about this. This is in front of the Bible College this last Wednesday, tear gas and rubber bullets, etc., because there was a clash of soldiers and Palestinian youth. And so all of this effort takes place in the midst of active conflict. And the ongoing occupation of Palestinian cities, etc., by the Israeli military. It's not enough that Bethlehem is surrounded by walls, but the military comes in as well to just oppose any expression of freedom or anything along that line. So it's a difficult situation. But there's a Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. There's a Prince of Peace. Amen. Who can change nations in a day and who can make walls fall in a day. But we are also called, as he entered the world in the flesh as a human being, in humility, as a servant, we're called to be peacemakers. So thank God for brothers who, in the midst of this, want to say we want to build a peace institute. Amen. Amen. Develop a peace institute. Well, we have Thanksgiving coming up, and so I'll let Norman Rockwell sort of carry us out. This is the famous Norman Rockwell painting on the left that graced the covers of Life magazine, as many of his paintings did. There's nothing wrong with it, because there are Caucasian families, all of whose members are Caucasian. The only problem with that is that we can begin to live in a silo in which it's just us and ours and no one else.
And Christ calls us out of those silos. So I like this other artist's version of God's Thanksgiving, the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen, which we're to live out now in this world. Jesus said, if you have a feast, invite someone who can't pay you back. And I think this artist sort of depicts that idea. So whatever your Thanksgiving looks like, may it be a happy one. And may we ask Jesus how we may be peacemakers in the world. Amen. Pray for us. We would love to have you as a church as one of our partners, even if it's $25 a month. We would love to see you as part of the blessings of what this project is going to bring to people. And we'd like to come back and say, Wellspring, you have done well in sowing seeds of peace. Amen? God bless you.
Let's have a time of sermon response. Anyone would like to respond to what you heard this morning, how the Spirit nudged you today? Hearing our brother's testimony and the miracles and struggles that continue to be real part of life. And we do want to pray for you maybe at the very end of the service. Yes.
Dedication of prayer to God, praying for God for a reconciliation between Him and the Father, so this does not have to happen. And if that could happen, I think we could eventually get peace without it.
Pray for God's will, yeah. Someone else?
Am I understanding that you're going to build something there, or is it something that is already there that you're expanding?
Yeah, when the physical buildings of the Bible College are already there, so we'll begin using their office space. They and they're in all their facilities. They have recently, in the last year, purchased a lot of land next to the college campus for a future Peace Institute building. But that's down the road, and I'm not even thinking about that now. Our focus is on developing the programs and identity, et cetera, of the Institute.
Can you put up that the final PowerPoint slide and see the picture of the building? Not on the worship book.
This is the main administration building. There are two more buildings along the street, going that way past the mural. And then behind this old building, there's a really nice new academic building that has been built three or four stories tall. And then behind that is the open lot that the college has bought. So we're actually going to be living on the campus here in the building next to the open. The building that has a mural on it is where we'll actually be living as an apartment there.
Our 25-year-old, she's been working for the past year and a half in New York with the Enterprise Destination Link, which is very different. And she even said she'll be looking for a different job soon, because even though she really is
And I think that you can, in, you know, we, it's a Peace and Justice Institute, and when you speak about justice, whether it's the ADL or, you know, Palestinian organizations, etc., in seeking justice, you can state your case in such a way that it does not make peace. You want to address injustice, but it does not make peace. And really, the goal is to marry peace and justice, and so that if we pursue justice, it's in such a way that builds bridges of peace, not just
not just
stating what the problem is. You know, so it's difficult, really. You know, so just pray for us on that.
Yes, that's right. Anyone else want to respond to the message this morning? Yeah, I think I was struck by the irony of the Bethlehem, the birthplace of the Prince of Peace, and especially that one picture that you showed with the tear gas and just the, you know, the level, the high levels of conflict. I wasn't, you know, there was definitely oppression and occupation during Jesus' time too. So it's been a troubled area of the world for a long time. But I also, I think, was struck by your reminder that it's relationships, right? It's relationship in relationships that we are able to be peacemakers. And I think starting with our relationship with God is what brings us the peace. We don't have peace within ourselves a lot of times to share, to make, to, we don't have the creative ways, but our relationship with God is where we start, and our families and our churches and all those places, like for us who won't be going to Bethlehem for ministry, like we have places that we should be making peace as well. But we also want to pray with you today and just bless you in your ministry. And we're thankful that you came today to share with us. Mm-hmm. So how should we do this? Would you like to just stand kind of in the aisle there? And do you mind if people come around you? Okay, so let's just stand up and let's come and lay our hands and pray for Karen.